It is a joy to be here. It's months since we came to St. Peter's, and it says that absence grows, makes the heart grow fonder. We've been growing very, very fond, and it's a great joy to be here and to see your faces again. Let me pray, and we'll study the Bible. Father, we do want to thank you that the entrance of your word does bring light, and we thank you for the way that you are the architect of great change that makes us more like Jesus and brings great glory to your name in that process. We pray that you please help us to understand your purposes for us and to fall into step with them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, my friend, I don't know if this is going to work, but let me ask you a question. If God was to change someone to make them more like Jesus, how do you think he would do it? Now, if you look at verse 22, the good news is that God is in the business of changing us to produce these amazingly attractive qualities that are all there in Jesus, and incidentally not nine fruit but one, nine flavors. And you've got this great change taking place, but it is God who's the one who is doing it. It is the fruit of his Spirit. And therefore, if you're someone who's stumbling to St. Peter's, you might be entirely unconvinced about God and have no Christian interest whatsoever. Well, look at those qualities in verse 22 and verse 23, and you find that you'd want a life that is full of love and joy and peace, wouldn't you? Who wouldn't? So if you're a believer, you're wanting to know how it happens. And if you're an unbeliever, you've got some reason to look into this as well. So how do you come by these qualities, and how do they come into your life? How has it happened? Does God zap someone and then suddenly they become like this? In some cases, it does appear that God does make a change that's dramatic and different and pretty instant. And we've got a lodger in London where we usually live, and his name is Faramaz. He's an Iranian, and he comes from a very turbulent background from his life in Tehran, and so therefore his body's got lots of bullet holes and knife scars and things like that. He's that sort of guy. He's been living with us for 2 years, and it does seem that he's been zapped, because no longer is he a man like that. And he is a complete delight to live. His wife couldn't put up with the drink and everything else in the rage, and she divorced him when they were in Iran, and they've met since then, and she is now so amazed at the difference that where she wants to start resuming the marriage. We have a Bible study. We've had this for every week for 2 years, and I teach him the Bible, and he now, when I go to church and teach the Bible to the church, he takes a group of Iranians and he goes into a little side room. We call it our international room, because not only are they there learning their own language, but he's also got three phones next to him. And one phones in from Dubai, and two separate people from Tehran phone up to join in their Bible study because they've heard the difference in him and they want to find out why he is the new man that everybody talks about. It seems like he's been zapped. But let me tell you, for 2 years I've watched his other habits, and Debbie and I have seen him close quarters, and he needs to be zapped a whole lot more. And that's true of all Christians, isn't it? I mean, you might have noticed that there are differences and changes, and if you have noticed, others probably have. My family tell me that I'm the last person in the world they ever expect to become a Christian. And yet, you live with yourself close quarters, and you know you need zapping more as well. How does that change happen to us that will make us full of that kind of fruit of love and joy and peace and all the rest of it? Well, when you look at this letter and you look at what the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians, I suppose you could shortcut the answer that most people in this place would have said, is that you've just got to work harder at obeying God's law. And that was why the Galatians letter was written, because people were as desperately trying to obey God's law and get things right that way. And so if that's the way it goes, you would write out verse 22 in your best handwriting and stick it next to your shaving mirror or your dentures or whatever it is that where you go to all the time, and you learn it by heart. You say, well, this is how I'm going to be today. And you find out that's not how you are today. But what we find out from verse 22 is that God grows this fruit in us. And better than that, it says he will grow this fruit in us. How does he do it? And what we want to see in this study this morning is not, we're not going through sort of verse by verse expository preaching this time. What we're trying to do is to see practically how these changes can be a part of our lives. So it's more practical, and we'll come at it that way. And the practical way that I want to suggest God does this is through process, not through zapping. That is, that God puts things into our lives that cumulatively will lead one thing to another to have this effect on us as we respond to the different events that take place as Christians. And maybe to help it stay colourful in your mind a bit longer, think of three trees growing. And that's what we'll look at step by step. And as we want to do that, let me say that this is a little bit of a preamble before the Lent course, because what we're going to be doing is to look at this a little bit more closely just over a month's time when we start the Lent course. Do come on that and we'll give this greater attention. But let's flip through it now. And I want to suggest to you that the first thing that God does when he wants to grow this fruit is to produce heat. And let's say something happens, an event takes place where you have heat switched on, in that it comes into your life and it makes you uncomfortable. Let's say it's the nuisance caller, the sudden phone call you didn't want, the boss who's critical, the relative who's selfish, the church member or leader who is hurtful. And we could have fun, can't we, just going around the place and press, who is it that presses your buttons, that turns the heat on, that makes you go grrr and grumpy. We could have fun and go around and say, right, okay, Andy, you tell us what does it for you. We won't do it because it'll take too long and we're not here to have fun. This church is serious business, isn't it? So what is it that actually makes it hot and leaves you feeling uncomfortable, helpless, shamed, maybe angry? And those feelings are there and engaged with in this passage. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17, you see how the word desires keeps looking in. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. The sinful nature's desires, contrary. See, this is the thing. When you have a desire to go the wrong way, then having another law in your armory isn't going to make too much difference. A rule doesn't work at that point when the heart's beating fast and you want to go a certain way. So the law can't help us because we do what we naturally desire. And the next thing that follows after the desires in that passage is bad fruit. And the fruit that is bad is described in verse 19. And if you look at it and see it in this way, you see that the bad behaviours are responses to the heat, or bad responses to the heat. And so we feel the heat and have the desire of temptation, and then bear the bad fruit, or the deeds of the flesh, of sexual immorality. We feel the heat of someone getting in our way and our desires to get them out of the way, and therefore we bear the fruit of rage. And so my first reaction to heat is rarely my best. I can have a great quiet time in my house in the morning and go down to the local swimming pool to have my little exercise for the day, and I'm spiritually refreshed. And what happens? I'm swimming up and down my lane in straight lines. A new person joins the lane. He's going the other way, and he bumps into me. And before I know it, I'm thinking, this man never swims straight. He is an accident waiting to happen whenever he steps in. And now he's got into my lane. What a nuisance he is. And I look up and the lifeguard's watching, so I'm not able to drown him on the spot, which is my first response. But I'm going to be irritated for the rest of the day. I bear bad fruit. It's in the heart. And that's the first tree. The second tree is the cross. And it looks like that. And the cross, for the Christian, is something that is so common to us, we're so familiar with it that we take it for granted. Therefore, before we understand and appreciate the cross, God's got to lead us through the two earlier stages of heat and bad fruit, because, well, that meandering swim I told you about, he can be just one of those things that happen in life, or we can see him as someone that God has brought into the pool that morning just to expose my sinful heart. And in that bit of heat that is turned on, my self-righteousness after reading my quiet time and what a good Christian I am is demolished. And my bad fruit shows you that I'm not as righteous as I thought I was. And so now I come to the cross, flattened, failed, and I am in great need of God's forgiveness. Now it matters. And if you know the story of the prodigal son, you know there were two sons, and the father lets the first son go down the path of his desires, and he goes into the far country and he bears the bad fruit that you read about in verses 19 to 21. But now he needs the father's forgiveness, and he goes home to find his father's great love for him. And so therefore he has the hug, the new robe, the ring, and the great welcome, and the fatted calf is trembling. And now you see what he does. Knowing the Father loves him so much, he is now able for the first time to bear good fruit and to be the grateful son that he never was before, filled with an understanding of God's love for him. And that's why the cross is just such a precious expression of God's love for us. That's why we have a communion service to take in again the enormity of God's forgiving love. And so change comes not through resolution, but by remembering how much God loves you, even though we've failed. And that takes us to the third tree. And the third tree is where we bear good fruit, where, having understood our forgiveness and the deep love that God has for us, our new desire is to help and serve the person who's turned on the heat, rather than to punish or get even. And that's how God produces new fruit. I want to now serve and help. My reaction will only be along these tracks, to serve and help, rather than to punish or get even. And so, when I want to help and serve, I treat someone with love rather than fury and hatred. When I want to help and serve that person, I want to relate to them with joy, not with distance, saying, well, if you're going to be like that, I'm walking away. I want to help and serve when I act in peace rather than in hostility. I want to help and serve, and so I'm patient rather than impatient. I am kind rather than unkind, because I want to help and serve the person who's turned on the heat. I want to help and serve and do good to them rather than to return evil on them. I want to be faithful and not to jettison them. I want to be self-controlled rather than self-justifying by reliving the past hurts and blaming it all on them. I grow new fruit, not to batter, but to bless. And verse 23 is right, isn't it? It tells us that there is no law that can generate people like this. This is the life that however much a non-Christian might want it, they are powerless to have, because they have no God, and so therefore everything that happens, happens by chance, and the only thing that regulates behavior is whether we can get away with it or not, like me and my lifeguard. But for someone who is a genuine follower of Jesus, there is a God in this world. And so the random nuisance call, it triggers a process. It triggers a project of change that God initiates and continues. The random nuisance call, the critical relative, the selfish boss, the hurtful church member are all part of his heat to show us that we are far too weak to be righteous, and then to bring us to see his forgiving love, which then plays on our minds to help us help and serve rather than punish and get even. See how it works? One thing leads to the other. How might it help us to know this? But my friends, if you're someone who's new to Christianity, I'm hoping you see that there's a God in this world who doesn't create religion, he creates relationships. Relationships that are characterized by love and joy and peace. It is the attractive quality of the Lord Jesus, the character of the Lord Jesus, that he now starts creating and growing in his people. That is what God is about. And you see that he does it because there are Christians you know who are like that, or at the very least want to be like that, even though they don't make it all the time. While you're seeing that go on, you see in the world that you live in, relationships that look very close to ones described in verses 19 to 21. There's anger, there's bitterness, there's rage, all those dissension things. And you might in your honest moments even recognize in yourself that your relationships are selfish and superficial. Now I want to suggest therefore that today you've got every good reason to come to the Lord Jesus, to ask him to forgive you for that fruit in your life, and to ask him to change to be like Jesus in these new relational ways. I'd love you to come to him and ask him. along those lines, and if you do, then come please see me afterwards. It'd be great to see how you can cross the line and turn to Christ and follow him. What happens if you're a regular in church? Lots of people ask. Steve was very impressive. I asked him how long he's come to St. Peter's, because he only looks like he has been around just very and he said he's been here since 3, that was 22 years ago, and well, it's just wonderful, isn't it? There are people in Burton who have got these long links with St. Peter's. And yet, not Steve, but it is just generally possible, isn't it? That we go to a church and we go to it for a long time, and what happens is that the church becomes more about services than about people. It's possible for a church to create respectability rather than relationships. And it's true, isn't it, that a superficial relationship with God will only produce superficial relationships with his people. So wouldn't today be a great day to take stock of that and to humbly ask him for closeness to your brothers and sisters where distance might have been the experience of the past? Again, it'll be good for us to keep chatting on these things. But if you are a real believer, I want you, my dear brother and sister, to be massively encouraged. Massively encouraged to know that even though you might be feeling flat this morning, God won't leave you there. He will work to produce this fruit in you. But understand how he will do it, so that you can then fall into step as he does it. And the way he does it is to go through that process, not through an instant zap. He brings heat into your life, a difficult time that exposes our proneness to bear bad fruit. And our first step is usually from the heat to blame others for the bad fruit, and the next step is to confess them to the Father, and he is waiting for you to come to him. Now it's a wonderful, precious time to know a Father's love in that moment. Not in a physical, literal way, but through the cross in that sense, hugging us to welcome us in once again. And then he puts it by his Spirit into your heart to love and serve those who may have hurt you. Now look, I've just gone through very mundane and somewhat silly examples about how this can work in a swimming pool or wherever else, but look, life is a whole lot more complex than that. We understand that. Come on the Lent course and we'll give ourselves to work out how this change project could be a deep part of our ongoing lives. Come and join us. The first one's on the 5th of March, and there are 6 weeks in Lent, except I think we're going to be skipping one, and we'll finish by the end of Lent because we're starting one day before Lent, so we'll get there at the right time. But come and join us so that what we've learnt this morning can have its full effect on our lives for our personal benefit and blessing, for the goodness and the value and the encouragement of our church family as we start loving each other as we should. But more than that, for the blessing of Burton, there's a watching world that would love to have fruit like this. Let's pray God will do this amongst us and grow Christ in us, we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are very painfully aware that we have borne bad fruit, responding badly when we've been provoked by heat. Please draw us back into your forgiving love and grow the fruit of your Holy Spirit in us so that our relationships are close, serving and helpful. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.